Well, welcome to the second week of our fall message series. It's all about how to stop judging other people. It's the most common sin of all, and yet, you know, it's still socially unacceptable to judge others, right? In fact, it's become a very sensitive topic in our society today, and a whole vocabulary has developed around it. I recently learned about this. So, for example, if you are judging someone, you are being judgy, J-U-D-J-G-Y, or you're shaming that person. And there's lots of ways that you can shame someone. So, for example, if you judge someone based on their fashion sense or their lack thereof, you are drip shaming them. I don't know what that means. I have no idea of the connection. But if you judge someone based on their income, like if they have a fairly high income and you judge them for that, you are bougie shaming them, which I guess comes from the word bourgeois. And there's lots of chatter like this out there in our society, and I think some of it is made up on the spot because a mom told me recently that she was trying to get her young teenage girl to go to church on Sunday morning, and the girl didn't want to go, and finally she cried out, "Mom, stop religion shaming me." Well, there's also the very famous statement, if you're caught being judgmental, someone might say to you, "Hey, do you judge much?" Which is the title of our message series. Last week, we started by really trying to unpack what judging other people means, because I think there's some confusion out there, and so we made some important distinctions. For example, we said that all of us make what we think are objective, factual determinations about people and their situations. For example, if you see someone and they're crying, or they look, you know, downcast, or they won't talk to anybody, or if they're off in a corner, you would probably make the determination that that person is upset, right? They're upset. Something is wrong. There's nothing wrong with making that factual determination. That is not a judgment. We also tend to make judgments about people's behavior. And that's where it gets a little closer to the mark. We judge people's behavior all the time. For example, let's say you're standing at your mailbox in your neighborhood and the speed limit is 25 miles an hour, and let's just also say that it's a school zone, right? And you see some guy driving through the neighborhood and you judge him to be driving over the speed limit. You say to yourself, that man is driving over the speed limit and that's not right. He shouldn't do that because this is a school zone and he could be endangering the children. That's a judgment about someone's behavior. And I would argue that's okay too, because you're judging the behavior. If we couldn't do that, then we'd never be able to correct one another when we go astray. But while those two things are okay, what's not okay is to draw conclusions about someone's character from the behavior that you observe. It's one thing to make factual determinations. It's one thing to make judgments about someone's behavior. It's quite another thing to condemn a person. So, for instance, you might say, going back to the person who seems to be upset, if you were to say, "Oh, she's just a crybaby. She just needs to deal with it," that's a character assassination. Or the guy driving through your neighborhood, if you were to say, he's a selfish idiot. They should take away his driver's license. That, again, is not just judging a behavior or a fact. It is condemning a person. And none of us have the right to do that. As Jesus has said, and we've repeated it many times in this series, judge not, and you will not be judged. Last week, we also looked at one common reason that we tend to judge people, and that is fear of conflict. Most of us, I would dare say, are afraid of, or don't want to, confront someone about their bad behavior. And so what we end up doing is judging them in our minds or talking about them to other people and without having all the facts. Instead, what we said last week is if it's appropriate to do, it's safe to do, and it's feasible to do, the best thing to do is to summon the courage and talk to the other person. Talk to them about their behavior. Because once you have a grasp of all the facts and the circumstances and what that person is feeling and what they're going through at the moment, you're probably much less likely to judge them. And then last week, we also gave you some practical tips on how to carefront other people in a healthy and productive way. If you missed that episode, or you weren't here, or you're new, you can catch it on our website at sthillary.org. Well, this week, I want to talk about another common reason that we tend to judge people, and that is lack of forgiveness. We judge other people because we just can't forgive them for their bad behavior. For example, a few weeks ago, I was presiding at a wedding at Lake Tahoe. The family put me up for 3 nights at the Ritz-Carlton there. This is the view from my room. It was like magic. I'm just trying to make you jealous. I hope it worked. But anyway, one day I was down early in the morning in their fitness room, which had a large picture window, and instead of doing my workout, I was looking out the window, and I could see this couple with their toddler, their young child. They were out on the back meadow, the meadowy area behind the hotel, where the hotel had set up a cornhole beanbag game. You know that game where you throw a beanbag through the hole or something like that? Anyway, this family, a couple and their young child, were out there picnicking and having a good time, and I thought, how fun that looks. And then all of a sudden, the little boy starts picking up the cornhole beanbags, and he walks over to the edge of the field, and he throws them down into the ravine one by one. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what was happening. And the couple, they were not even paying any attention to their child. They were just talking with each other. And I was outraged. I was outraged. But just as I was about to, you know, get over it and forgive them and kind of overlook it or whatever, the couple looks up, they see what their son is doing, and they get up, and I say to myself, great, they're going to finally put an end to this nonsense. And you're never going to guess what they did next. They came over and they helped the child throw the beanbags off the playing field down into the ravine one by one. My sense of righteous indignation was at an all-time high because I put myself in the shoes of that hotel employee, right? That poor guy that was going to have to trudge down into that ravine, risking life and limb to retrieve those bean bags and bring them back up onto the field. I just couldn't forgive them for that. And that's the problem. When we can't overlook someone's behavior, when we just can't kind of give them, you know, I don't know, the benefit of the doubt or just forgive them and move on, we tend to judge them and hold on to those judgments. We judge others because we can't forgive them for their bad behavior, for their hurtful, thoughtless, inconsiderate behavior. Let me give you another example. Maybe this one will hit closer to home. There's an older man that I know. He's in his 80s, well into his 80s. He's not part of this parish. He lives in another part of the country. And he and his wife contracted COVID a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago. His wife had a relatively minor case, but he had a serious case. He didn't have to go into the hospital, but for weeks he was down for the count. Well, later, this man, let's call him Chris, his name has been changed to protect the innocent, Chris later discovered that he contracted COVID when he was at a football game with a large group of friends, one of whom knew that he had COVID when he attended the game. And Chris still has not spoken to his friend. He judged him to be selfish, a selfish person who didn't care about anyone else. And he just could not forgive him for that. But let's take a look at what Jesus says about forgiveness in the gospel story we heard at Mass tonight, in a great parable that he tells about an unforgiving servant. It all started with a fairly innocent question by Peter, one of the disciples, when he said, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? And here, Peter thinks he's being virtuous, right? He says, as many as seven times, Lord? You know, it's like, hey, Jesus, look at me. I'm willing to go the extra mile and forgive someone seven times. And Jesus kind of smacks him down and he says, no, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. That's not a mathematical quantity. It's an exaggeration, but what Jesus is saying is that the number of times you and I must forgive someone for their bad behavior, their hurtful behavior, their rude behavior, is limitless, unlimited, without limit, in case I'm not being clear. And that's a tall order, right? That's a really tall order. But Jesus goes on. I mean, to make his point, he tells this parable about a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And so when he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. And of course, he couldn't pay it back, so he fell to his knees and he said, Master, be patient with me. Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. And moved with compassion, the king let him go. The master of that servant let him go and forgave him the whole debt. He didn't just give him more time, he wrote off the whole thing. But then, as you heard, what did this man do? He goes and he finds another man who owes him a smaller amount of money. I don't know why he did this. Maybe he thought he was going to pay back the king, you know, even though he didn't have to, and get into his favor again, whatever. But he goes to another man who owes him a smaller amount, and he demands payment. And he seizes him, and he begins to choke him and says, and demands, pay back what you owe. And again, in exactly the same words, that man falls to his knees, just like the unforgiving servant did, and said, please be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. And instead, he had the man put in prison until the whole debt was paid. And then, of course, the king was furious. I would have been too. When he heard about this, he was furious and he called the man back and he put him in prison for until he could pay back the entire debt for not having pity on the other man as the king had had pity on him. And then comes the punchline to that story, which is like right here, right? He says, and so will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. That is hard, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. What Jesus is saying is that the more we hold on to resentment and anger and unforgiveness, the more God does as well. The more we judge others, the harsher we will be judged one day by God. That's why the Bible says, judgment is merciless for the one who has not shown mercy. It's why the first reading says that if he who is but flesh, meaning a human being, cherishes wrath, meaning unforgiveness and resentment against another person, who will forgive his sins? The answer to that is no one, including God. No one will forgive his sins. The more we refuse to forgive others, the more we will judge them. And the more we judge them, the more we will be judged. That's the problem. The more we will be judged. You know, I think we are critical of other people because we find it very difficult to empathize with their circumstances and to put ourselves in their shoes at that moment. For example, let's go back to that story about Chris who got COVID from his friend who came to a football game knowing he had COVID. Chris judged his friend to be a selfish person who didn't care about anybody else because he did that. But what I didn't tell you about the story is that the man who had COVID and came to the game anyway had just lost his wife of many, many years, decades and decades, a wife he loved deeply. And he was in serious grief. He was in serious grief, and he was so lonely, and he felt so forlorn. He fell into a deep depression, and he was desperate for some human companionship. And so when he got the invitation to the game, but later developed symptoms of COVID, he decided to go anyway, thinking that everyone would be safe because the game was outside. Now, certainly, he made a bad decision. I think we can all agree on that. And maybe even a selfish one. But that does not make him a selfish person. One bad act, or even a few bad acts, does not make a bad person. A single incident does not sum up a whole individual. In this case, the man went to the game. He made a bad decision because of his mental state. And if Chris could begin to see that, could begin to empathize with that, maybe he could forgive his friend. Forgiveness is key. The key to forgiveness is compassion. It's compassion. And forgiveness is one of the essential ways that we begin to move away from judging others and finding fault with them. The secret to forgiveness is looking past the bad act and into the heart and mind of the person with the realization that if we were in the same circumstances, in the identical situation, if we were in that person's shoes, we may very well have done the same thing. There's a great episode of Ted Lasso. How many of you have ever seen that show, Ted Lasso, on Apple TV? A number of you have. This was episode 9 of season 3. I'm just new to the show. In fact, someone pointed that episode out to me in preparation of this homily, and I watched it. It's a great show, a lot of bad language. I don't have the kids around. But anyway, it's about a British soccer team, and one of the players, Isaac, he learned something very, very private about one of the other players, Colin, who also was his best friend. But when Isaac learned this and didn't learn it from Colin, he was furious. He felt like he had been lied to, that Colin had been lying to him for years. And he was wondering why Colin didn't think he could trust Isaac with that information. Anyway, betrayed and upset, he took to the field one day when the team was playing a game. And at halftime, that's what you call it in soccer, halftime? When you go to the dugout? Is that right? You know how I am with sports. Anyway, when they were going for intermission time, whatever you call that in soccer, they're going off the field and one of the spectators shouted a horrible epithet at the team. And Isaac, believed that it was being directed at Colin. And he exploded and he stormed the bleachers and he physically attacked the man. And this was all over the news and the sports channels and everything, and people were outraged. The public was very angry with Isaac because they thought, well, if you pay your money to go to a game, I guess you can shout anything you want to the team players, which I don't actually agree with, but whatever. Everybody was outraged, and in a press conference, one of the coaches of the team, Roy Kent, defended Isaac, and he said this: "None of us knows what others are going through. None of us knows what another person is going through. And so for Isaac to do what he did, even though it was wrong, I give him love. I give him love. We don't know what the other person is going through." There's lots of good reasons to forgive people. One good reason is because the more you forgive, the more God will forgive you. It's a good reason. Another good reason is forgiveness is good for you. It's healthy. It's good for the mind, body, and soul. You may have heard the old saying, right? Holding on to resentment and anger and grudges is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So forgiveness is good for you. A third reason to forgive is that it gives you power. People don't think of it this way, but when you forgive someone, you are exercising power because you are making the decision to let them back into your life. But there's another reason to exercise mercy and forgiveness. Without it, you will forever be caught in an endless trap and cycle of judging other people and feeling guilty about it. Forgiveness is countercultural. We don't do it very much in our society anymore. And it goes against the grain, it bucks the tide, but it is worth it. And so I ask you this week, I implore you this week, to think about someone in your life that needs a little love, even though they've hurt you. Someone that maybe acted badly toward you, and you're having a hard time forgiving them. Maybe you're still holding on to some resentment. Do something for that person this week. Go to them, try to talk to them. Maybe you've talked to them before. Do it again. Do it again. And try to understand the situation. Maybe what they were going through at the time. Maybe the difficulty they were facing at the time. Few people, I find, are evil. They're just hurt and broken like the rest of us. And as the old saying goes, hurt people hurt people. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Stop judging and you will not be judged.